Well, I certainly count it a wonderful privilege to be able to be with you this evening. And I thank God that He is bringing great order out of all this chaos today. And I'm thankful, Brother Thomas, that He put a big hole in me that He might fill it with Himself. And I just pray that the Lord would fill me more and more. What a great God that's been presented to us tonight, and I praise the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles, I'll ask you to open with me to the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 11. And verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Now, repentance is a very much needed subject among us today. Jesus Christ came on the scenes on the shores of Galilee, and His very first message was, repent. The last record that we have of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to His churches is found in the book of Revelation. And His last message to His people there is repent. Repentance is a great needed subject. So I want to look for just a little while this evening at some things by which we see false repentance. What repentance is not. And if you'll go with me to the 24th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts 24. We'll begin reading in verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Dear brethren, how is it with us tonight? Are we waiting for a convenient season to serve the Lord? Are we waiting for tomorrow? We'll straighten our life out and we'll get right and we'll join the church and we'll try to be a good church member tomorrow. Is that how it is with us tonight, or have we found a convenient season? Have we found a convenient time? Felix could tremble. But I tell you, our trembling at the Word of God is not true repentance. If our trembling, beloved, can only make us want to have a convenient season, then we don't know what it is to know the true repentance of God. Well, in the 25th, let's go on over to the 26th chapter. Acts 26 and 28. In Acts 26 and 28, we find it recorded for us. We'll back up a few verses. Let's go back up to verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You know, beloved, sometimes in people's life they can sit under the Word and can bring great conviction to them. It can even drive them to their knees. But I'm afraid that too many times in their experience, convictions driving them to their knees, if it doesn't change us, then we don't know what repentance is all about. It's not enough, beloved, that convictions drive us to our knees, but if we're not changed by them, we don't know what true repentance is all about. We're almost to that point of repenting, maybe sometimes in our lives, but almost repenting is not true repentance. Well, if we go back to the Old Testament, we'll find that neither is humbling ourselves under the hand of God true repentance. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed? And also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorites, which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. And if you go to this last chapter of 1 Kings, you'll find that it's recorded of Ahab that he was still a wicked and evil man. And so his repentance was an outward repentance. He humbled himself. Yet it did not change the vileness of his heart nor his actions in his life. As we go through the book of Exodus, we find in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 27, that sometimes we can even confess our sins, but confession without forsaking is not true repentance. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. But if you read on down, you find that as soon as Moses went out and the plague ceased, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he went right back to his sinning ways. And so, beloved, tonight, we may sit here under the view of preacher, deacons, and the rest of the church, but truly, how is it with our hearts? Have we confessed our sins, but are we going on still in them? Have we humbled ourselves in an outward way, or have we truly humbled ourselves before the Lord? Well, none of us here tonight can truly humble ourselves and turn from our sins unless we have the blessing of our text. Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You know, God doesn't go down to the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and bring in His people, does He? He doesn't go down to the First Baptist Church choir and call His people. I tell you, He calls them out of the greatest cesspools of iniquity that we could ever imagine. And this had to be an astounding thing to these Jewish men, because to their mind, the Gentile people were the most despicable, sinful. You think about a cesspool of iniquity, and I tell you, that's where you find the Gentiles of that day. But you know what? That's exactly where God found me. How is it with you tonight, dear friend? Where did God find you? Did He find you in sin? Did He find you far away from Him? Did He find you in the greatest sins? And through His wonderful sovereign grace, did He call you out of that and grant you the ability to turn to Him? Then if He did, He's granted you truly repentance unto life. You know, I'm so thankful tonight that grace is free, because if it was not free, I would not have one dime to pay. I don't have anything to pay. God had to draw me. He had to draw you tonight from free, sovereign grace, because we had nothing to pay with. What is real repentance? My friends, it starts first of all with a broken heart. If there's no sorrow for sin, then it's not real. Listen, in Psalm 51 and verse 17, Brother Zach can quote that for you, that I'm going to read it to you. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken heart, a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. God wants to see in my heart And God wants to see in your heart, beloved, a brokenness over our sins against God. And if my sins do not cause me to mourn, and if they don't break my heart, then I don't know what repentance is all about. It's going to make me sad. It's going to make me sorrowful. It's going to break my heart. In the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26, this chapter ends with these words. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, we live in a sad culture today where people find it so hard to shed tears. And for a man to cry, you know, we'll go around the block several times if it means being able to dry up those tears so people won't see us cry a little bit. But I tell you, when we're brokenhearted over sin, beloved, we don't care who sees us weeping bitterly over our sins. Peter didn't care who saw him. He went out and he wept bitterly because he had sinned against the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have, and I can't have, true repentance tonight if my heart is not broken over sin. You know, in that Old Testament, let's look first of all at Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 1. Lamentation 1 and verse 20. He said, behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled. Mine heart is turned within me, for I have grievously rebelled. Abroad the sword bereaveth, at home there is as death. Behold, O Lord, for I am in distress. My bowels are troubled, and mine heart is turned within me. Why? For I have grievously rebelled. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 7 and verse 16, the old prophet could say to God's people in that day concerning their sin, Ezekiel 7 and 16, but they that escape of them shall escape and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning, every one for his iniquity. Doves, my friends, upon the mountains, mourning for their iniquities. We need to have mourning today over sin. You know, that's why James could say that we need to spend more time not in the house of feasting, but in the house of mourning. You know, we don't experience that as much today as we should. But I tell you, maybe one day God will be gracious to us and we'll be able to experience more in our day what Wilson Thompson experienced in his day when not very far from here, called Real Foot Lake, my friends, something went on in his day when he could walk walk upon the church grounds and people would be there on their faces crying out to God because of their sins. And I tell you, during that time, God caused the mighty Mississippi River to run backward for 3 days and three nights, and the real Foot Lake was created. I tell you, God worked then, and He still can work today, and our hearts need to be broken for sin. There's going to be some sorrow. There's going to be some brokenness over sin. 1 Corinthians. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians, rather. Chapter 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Beloved, what I want to get out of that is this. We cannot have true repentance if we don't have godly sorrow for sin. Godly sorrow which doesn't bring us halfway to the place of repentance, but true repentance by which we change the direction we're going in. And instead of running away from God, we're running towards God. How is it with you tonight? Are you headed in the direction of God, or are you going away from God? Well, you're the only one that can answer that. You can look down in your heart and you can see what God already sees, which direction you're headed in. Either we're headed towards God or we're headed away from Him. And if we have true repentance unto life granted by sovereign grace, we're going to be running in His direction. Well, I want to go back to the book of Daniel for just a moment, because not only, beloved, are we going to have godly sorrow over sin, but true repentance is going to be that which causes us to break off sin. Daniel chapter 4 and verse 27. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness. Break off thy sins by righteousness. Just quit sinning. Just quit doing that abominable thing that's loathsome in the eyes of God. Not only must there be godly sorrow, but there must be breaking off the sin. And how do we break off the sin? By righteousness. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. You know, in Isaiah chapter 58, the Lord there describes very similar terms and thoughts that Daniel just told to this king, Isaiah 58. And I began reading in verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy real reward. That is, God is going to be your rear guard. He's going to protect you from behind. He's going to protect you from the front. He's going to protect you on all sides. He's going to surround you, beloved, when this becomes your path of obedience. Your righteousness shall break out in this way. You know, if you compare what's just recorded for us here, what a great similarity there is in Matthew 25 when the king has come and he's separated the nations with the sheep on his right hand. And he'll say unto them, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat." And he goes through that long list. How closely resembling that is what we've just read in Isaiah 58. My friends, we break off our sins by righteousness. And if you'll notice all these things, we usually have to begin to forget ourselves to start thinking about other people. We got to go out of our way to minister to them. And I can't do that if I'm absorbed in number one. And so we come to living a life of righteousness by forgetting ourselves and living it for other people. Well, let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah, first of all, chapter 13 and verse 6. You know, it's hard for me to break off sin without something else. Zechariah chapter 13, and in verse 6, we have a question to ask. And one shall say unto him, "What are these wounds in thine hands?" Then he shall answer, "Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." Now, this is a beautiful picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the question is asked, "What are these wounds in thine hands?" Then he shall answer, "Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." You know, I've gone to my friends' homes many times, but they've never wounded me. That's a strange place to be wounded, isn't it? In the house of your friends. The one that ought to love you the most. Well, with our Savior, He was wounded in the house of His friends. In the 12th chapter of Zechariah, and in the 10th verse, we find this recorded for us. "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn." I tell you, if we want to break off sins, then we need to be more dwelling upon the glories of our Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the more we look upon Him who was pierced, beloved, I tell you, the more that we're going to mourn over sin and break off the sins that so much plague our lives and cause us not to be that shining light for God Almighty in the day in which we live. Which direction are we running in tonight? Are we running toward God or are we running away? You know, I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ is ready tonight to receive all that will come to Him. He's taken us out of the gutters. He's taken us out of the cesspools. And He's cleaned up our life. And He will never turn one away who comes to Him seeking His precious salvation. He'll never turn them away. And so if you have it on your heart tonight, and God has broken your heart for sin, and you've seen the glorious One pierced for you, then I would bid you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I want to leave you with one final thought. It's found in Luke 24 and verse 40. "And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet." You know, two places in Zechariah, it dwells upon His pierced hands. "And when He came to the disciples here, in order to convince them that it was He in the flesh. He showed them His feet and His hands. Now, isn't it remarkable? The Lord Jesus Christ came out of the grave with a glorious resurrection body, and He could have removed every single thing that pointed to all that He went through in His sufferings for us. But He chose to have in His hands the print of the nails. He chose to have in His feet the wounds of the nails. Because one day, my friends, as we're in glory, we shall desire to see those hands and to put our fingers in them that we might remember what Jesus Christ suffered for me and for you. I tell you, let us gaze upon the Lamb of God tonight as He's dwelling upon Calvary's Hill and fix our gaze upon the Lamb slain. And then we shall run from sin, and it shall be the loathsome thing that it ought to be to us, because we see the Lamb broken for us, wounded for us, and we see His precious hands tonight. May God help us to flee to the Lamb. May the Lord bless you.